A Free Quorin in the Palace, Tessig's Tale, by Dave Wolverton. Tessig lay in his water tank, ostensibly taking an afternoon nap, as he contemplated tomorrow's plots. By midday, Jabba the Hutt would be dead, one way or another. At 10 tomorrow morning, the Hutt planned to inspect a spice shipment at one of his larger warehouses in Mos Eisley. And during that hour, Prefect Eugene Talmont, the simpering stooge of the Empire, planned to raid the warehouse in hopes of winning a post somewhere off this rock. Little did Talmont know that Tessig had set them all up. Tessig had bribed two of Talmont's junior officers to open fire on Jabba and their own superior, and afterward they would scurry away before the bomb that was concealed in Jabba's skiff could detonate, blowing up Jabba, Talmont, and the nearly empty warehouse. One of the two officers would likely be recruited to take Talmont's place as prefect, and Tessig would sell Jabba's criminal interests to the Lady Valerian for a vast fortune. Meanwhile, Tessig would keep Jabba's clean businesses, the ones that existed solely as money laundering operations, for himself. Fortunately, no one, not even Jabba himself, quite knew how much of the Hutt's vast fortune Tessig had diverted into buying and promoting such businesses in the past 4 years. Under Tessig's careful guidance, the Hutt's clean establishments were bringing in nearly as much as his criminal operations. And many a high-minded, law-abiding individual would be surprised to learn the true identity of his employer. Tessig smiled inwardly as he considered his plot, yet still he was uneasy. He heard a sound within his chambers. He lay still, opening one eye just a slit, staring out into the darkened quarters. He had heard movement, he was certain, a dull scraping sound of metal upon the plasteel floors of his room. But the room was dark, only the shapeless masses of old robes strewn about the floor. He studied for a long moment, until at last he spotted something near the doorway, a large spider-shaped droid made of black metal with dim headlights that glowed like eyes, a Bomar Brainwalker. Of all the things in Jabba the Hutt's palace, only the Bomar were creepier than Jabba himself. Somewhere deep below the fortress, the surgically removed brains of the Bomar were stacked in nutrient-filled jars where for centuries they had been free to ponder the cosmos without the distraction of their senses. On rare occasions, the brains sometimes called to one of the spider-like droids, which would then convey the brain to the upper levels of the palace. Tessig wondered at the creature's motives. Spies. All of them spies. Tessig thumbed a switch, locking closed the door to his room, then climbed from his water tank, letting the precious fluid drip on the warm floors. Too late, the Bomar realized that he was caged, and the monk's brain, trapped in a spider-like body, scurried about the room, seeking to hide behind a bundle of clothes.
"Come on, O great enlightened one," Tessig teased. "Face your impending death with equanimity."
To his surprise, the monk stopped in mid-stride, then turned to face him, bright lights shining. It climbed atop the pile of dirty clothes and stood regally, camera lenses aimed at Tessig.
"Do you face your own impending death with such equanimity?"
The monk spoke through a tinny speaker at the spider's belly. Tessig laughed nervously, then began strapping a blaster at his hip, another at his left knee, then put vibroblades in sheaths on his back, on his right knee, and at his left wrist. He had thought to kill the monk immediately, but decided now to toy with it first.
"You pretend to know the future. To see my death?" Tessig asked. "Yet you failed to see your own."
"Perhaps I came here seeking my own death," the monk answered. "Perhaps I crave that perfect freedom, just as you crave freedom."
"'I am a free Quarren already,' Tessic said. "'I work for Jabba on a daily basis, "'and I may leave his employment whenever I desire. "'I am free.'
"'He finished sheathing his last knife, "'pulled out his blaster and checked to make sure it was fully charged, "'then set it to kill.
"'You are not free to return to the green seas of your homeworld,' the monk argued. "'For members of your Quarren species are held in contempt by the Mon Calamari. "'For years you served them, and now, because one Quarren betrayed them to the Empire, "'all Quarren have been made outcast. "'And you have vowed that some day you will make yourself free, "'that you will never serve as an inferior to a creature from another species.'
"'How could you know of such things, confined as you are to the jugs below?'
Tessic asked. "'I read your mind as you slept. "'I felt your craving, and I came to offer you the freedom you desire.'
"'You can read my mind?'
Tessic asked, suspecting that it was true.
"'Indeed,' the monk said. "'I know that you plot Jabba's demise.' "'but that you fear that your own henchmen, Reis, Barada, and the Weequays, "'are too inept and untrustworthy to carry out your plots. "'Actually, you are far wiser than your associates, "'wiser than Jabba himself.'
"'Tessic suspected that the monk was trying to flatter him.
"'You hope to kill the Hutt, steal all his wealth that is strewn across the galaxy, "'and set yourself in his place.' "'You imagine that by doing this, you will be free. "'You imagine that your wealth will buy you the respect and peace of mind that you crave.'
"'But,' Tessic asked,
"'but in time you would discover yourself to be a slave of wealth, "'trapped in a web of suspicion and deceit, "'manipulated by the plots of beings very much like yourself. "'Even now you struggle within such a web.' "'Jabba suspects that you plan to kill him. "'His spy, Salacious Crumb, has been shadowing you, "'along with the guard Ortug, "'and Bib Fortuna is well aware of your disloyalty. "'Jabba is following your efforts with great amusement, "'even as he plots your own untimely demise.'
"'So what am I to do?'
Tessic asked uneasily, "'the whip-like tendrils at his mouth quivering.' His hearts were pounding in his chest, and a bit of ink dribbled from the glands at his mouth, his species' ancient reaction to fear.
"'Come with me,' the monk whispered urgently, "'to the realm of the Bomar below the palace grounds. We can teach you the way to peace and enlightenment.'
"'But first you would cut my brains from my body?' Tessic asked. "'Thank you for your offer, but no.'
He whipped out his blaster and shot so quickly the monk did not have time to move. The spider-like body burst into blue sparks and spattered against the far wall, legs twisting in tortured spasms as it burned. A green-skinned Gamorrean guard burst into the room, swinging a huge vibro-axe. Tessic recognized Ortug by his massive yellowed tusks and his distinctive odor. Ortug had been just outside his door.
"'What happened?'
Ortug grunted. Tessic could not help but notice that Ortug had been able to override the voice lock on his door.
"'I awoke and was strapping on my weapons when that creature stirred on the far side of my room,' Tessic answered,
wondering if he should go ahead and shoot Ortug, but deciding against it.
"'With all of the strange deaths in the palace lately, I decided not to take any chances.' "'Go and tell Lord Jabba that I have disposed of the murderer in our midst.'
Tessic added this last bit, impromptu. Certainly there had been a number of disturbing murders in the palace, bodies turning up that had no physical signs of violation. But Tessic suspected they could all be attributed to that three-eyed lout Reis. Certainly the goat-headed creature spent more time drunk than sober, and as the lonely monster sank deeper and deeper into madness, he was becoming more and more violent. If Reis hadn't been one of Tessic's most valued henchmen, as untrustworthy as he was, Tessic would have fingered the creature for the murders some time ago. As it was, Tessic enjoyed the idea of diverting suspicion onto the monks. Certainly it would give Jabba something to ponder. Ortug scratched between two rolls of fat under his hairy jowl and considered Tessic's explanation. If it had been any other Gamorrean, such as that fool Gartog, who had been dragging rotting corpses around, thinking that they would be valuable clues to the murder, he would have taken Tessic's charges at face value. As it was, Ortug only continued scratching and said,
"Never mind, you fool," Tessic snapped. "If you're too stupid to see the truth, I'll tell Jabba and collect his reward myself."
Tessic hurried out into the hallway, down a flight of broad stone steps. He could hear the harried moans of droids being tortured down a side corridor, the roaring of beasts in the pits, captives in the dungeons. Jabba's house was a house of pain and slaves and moans. When Tessic became lord of this fortress, things would change. These halls would be filled with the sounds of music, the convivial chatter of accountants. Tessic was a businessman and did not fancy himself to be evil. Jabba wasted valuable resources, both droid and flesh, through his wanton acts of wickedness. In only a moment, Ortug ran from the room, his mail clanking, pushing past Tessic as he cried,
"Wait, wait! I tell Jabba for you!"
Tessic had known how the creature would react, of course. The hint of a possible reward was enough to cloud the judgment of even the smartest Gamorrean. And so Tessic was free to make his daily rounds. It was a busy day ahead, so many plans to fulfill. His first stop was to Barada, the chief of Jabba's repulsor lift pool. Few of Jabba's servants were allowed their own sleeping quarters. Such things were granted only to those like Tessic, whose anatomy required special considerations. The rest of the cutthroats were confined to Jabba's throne room, so that Jabba slept with ample guards and at the same time made it more difficult for his own henchmen to plot against him. Still, there were some, like Barada, who had their own quarters. Barada was condemned to sleep in the motor pool, where he could guard the vehicles. Tessic ambled down to the ground level of the palace, then scratched lightly at the door to the motor pool. The door slid open with a whoosh. Tessic jumped inside, and the door flashed closed behind him. The motor pool was a vast room that contained Jabba's pleasure barge, dozens of craft used in carrying commerce, land speeders, and speeder bikes, all protected from theft and the elements by a heavy blast door. The room smelled of rust and grease, paint and dust. The outer door to the motor pool, thankfully, was closed against the heat of the day. One corner of the room had stones on the floor, and on them was a bed of sand. Barada lay on it, stripped to the waist, his yellow eyes gleaming dimly in the feeble work lights around the room. "What is it?" Barada hissed. Barada was a fierce creature with the cracked brown skin that matched Tatooine's own harsh deserts in both texture and color, though the crest on his skull sometimes changed to a brilliant red. He was bright, secretive, and he was one of the few bond-servants that Jabba trusted. Barada should have been able to buy his own freedom from the hut, but Jabba had cheated Barada out of his freedom for far too long. Jabba would have been wiser to free the creature and employ him honestly. Instead, the hut would learn too late that his trust had been misplaced.
"Today is the day, my friend," Tessic answered softly. "You will earn your freedom." "All is well. Everything is secure."
He dared not speak more openly in asking if the bomb was planted on Jabba's skiff. Barada closed his eyes in acknowledgment. "I stayed up all day preparing Jabba's skiff, but before I came to rest there was a matter of interest that I learned of."
"Which is?"
"More members of the Rebel Alliance have found their way into Jabba's palace." Tessic hissed with displeasure.
"Tell me of it."
"The woman disguised as a Ubeese bounty hunter who delivered Han Solo's Wookiee friend, then tried to rescue Solo. We have ascertained her identity. She is none other than Leia Organa, Princess of Alderaan, and Jabba has her chained at his feet.
That cretin, Tessic said. Doesn't Jabba recognize how dangerous that is? Keeping Han Solo was impetuous enough, and dadding the Wookiee was foolhardy. But imprisoning the princess? Surely the Rebel Alliance will effect a rescue.
Jabba thinks not. You should have heard him laugh when he learned her identity.
Jabba may laugh now, but we shall see who has the last laugh. Our plots will bear fruit soon, and I, for one, shall breathe easier once I put these rebel heroes from the palace.
Tessic spun away, left the room, his cloaks swishing. So many things to worry about. Rebel attacks, Jabba's spies, the vile hints from some long-dead monk, the stupidity of Tessic's own men, murderers in the palace, and the uncertainty of the success of Tessic's own planned attack against Jabba. Suddenly he heard the amused roar of Jabba the Hutt coming up from the hallway below him, at a time when the Hutt normally would still be sleeping. Obviously someone was in trouble. Tessic hurried down to the audience chamber. Everyone was awake. Bib Fortuna stood between Jabba and a young man dressed in dark robes. The lad warned Jabba.
"Nevertheless, I'm taking Captain Solo and his friends. You may either profit from this or be destroyed."
The young man spoke with dignity, and there was so much threat implied by his tone that Tessic found his heart pounding in his chest, found himself desperately hoping that Jabba would free his prisoners.
"Ho, ho, 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 ho!" Jabba laughed, then said in Huttese, "There will be no bargain, young Jedi."
Tessic could not see through the crowd of people and stood higher to get a better look. One of Jabba's droids began to shout a warning to the Jedi, but Jabba pressed the button, opened the trap door to his dungeon just as the young Jedi mysteriously drew a blaster, misfiring it into the air. The young Jedi slid into the Rancor pit, along with one of the Gamorrean guards. Most of the palace residents rushed forward to watch the ensuing battle, but Tessic held back, simply stared in horror at Jabba. The Mad Hutt had no sense of propriety. To kill an ambassador from the Rebel Alliance was unthinkable. For a few moments there was pandemonium, as the huge greenish-brown Rancor roared and stalked his victims. Yet the battle that raged in the Rancor pit was short-lived, and ended with the Rancor's death and Jabba the Hutt himself roaring in frustration. Within a minute, Jabba lined up the rebel heroes and decreed their death sentences.
"You will be taken to the great pit of Carcoon and fed to the mighty Sarlacc. There, in his bowels, over 1,000 years, you will learn a new definition of pain and suffering."
Within moments, the palace was bustling as Jabba's goons prepared for the journey. The Hutt began shouting orders.
"Ready my sail barge. Stock it with supplies. We leave within hours."
Obviously, Jabba knew it was too dangerous to try to keep the Jedi captive long. Yet the cousin to a slug so fervently desired extracting a painful revenge that he could not just terminate the young man. Tessic's skin went cold. The trip to the great pit of Carcoon would take up the whole afternoon. Prefect Talmont would raid the warehouse in Mos Eisley while it was empty. Tessic had to change his plans. As everyone hustled about, Tessic rushed forward to the Hutt. The stench of decay and illegal spices was thick on the monster's breath. Jabba turned his dark eyes downward.
"Your Majesty," Tessic urged, "perhaps you should reconsider this foolish mission. By killing the heroes of the Rebel Alliance, you would only bring the wrath of the Alliance down upon you. It is possible that they already have ships in orbit waiting to attack."
"Ho, ho, ho, ho," Jabba laughed. "Attack my fortress? I would like to see them try."
Jabba reached into his food box, pulled out a wriggling creature, put it on his tongue, and flipped it into his mouth.
"Perhaps the Alliance forces are only waiting for you to leave the palace. Expose yourself to attack," Tessic offered.
Jabba did not answer immediately, but his eyes widened in fear. It was a most logical argument.
"Yes, yes," Jabba said. "We must be careful. We will go to Carcoon, but only with a full contingent of warriors. Go, prepare yourself, Tessic, for a trip aboard my pleasure craft."
Tessic tried not to show his fear. It would only entice and gratify the Hutt.
"But, Master, I cannot go into the desert. My skin would dry out."
"Ho, ho, ho, ho!"
Jabba laughed, and Tessic knew that he had no choice but to accompany the Hutt. The thought of Tessic's pain amused the monster.
"But, Master," Tessic argued, "we have important business to take care of. Remember the spice ship from Kessel? We must inspect the cargo today. Perhaps I should go to Mos Eisley and inspect it for you."
Jabba's eyes narrowed, and he licked his tongue. Jabba was very fond of spice, and he would need part of that shipment for himself. Yet he distrusted Tessic.
"Yes, yes," Jabba said thoughtfully,
his deep voice echoing throughout the room in Huttese.
"The spice. We'll just have to wait. Go. Prepare yourself for the trip to Carcoon. I will have you at my side."
Trapped. Tessic was trapped. The monk's words echoed in Tessic's mind. He plots your own untimely demise. Surely Jabba suspected Tessic, and those whom Jabba suspected rarely lived long. Indeed, Jabba was amused by Tessic's fear of dehydration, and just as Han Solo had spent weeks frozen in carbonite while hanging on Jabba's wall, Tessic imagined his own desiccated hide, dried until he was mummified, hanging as an ornament on Jabba's wall.
"Surely I am little more than an accountant," Tessic argued. "Others here could handle such matters far better than I."
"Nevertheless," Jabba assured him, "your presence is not just desired. It is required. I have great plans for you."
Tessic ran to his room, began plotting furiously. 3 or 4 hours was all he had. It would be too late to call off Prefect Talmont's raid on Jabba's warehouse. Tessic didn't have time to send a written message to Talmont's agents in Mos Eisley. Tessic would have to talk to Talmont after the fact, get him to raid the premises again on some future date. Tessic considered the bomb in Jabba's skiff. If Jabba wanted to maintain his fullest military presence, the Hutt would bring the skiff along, load it down with henchmen, and use it as a protective outrider in case of a skirmish. Under such conditions, it would not take much for the bomb to go off, a spark from a Hutt capacitor, a stray shot. It was a big bomb, big enough so that if Jabba's sail barge were close when it detonated, the bomb might destroy the entire sail barge, too. Tessic didn't have time to dismantle the bomb. Indeed, Jabba's men and droids were probably already scrambling onto the skiff, loading it for the trip. Tessic had but one recourse. He would have to escape during the chaotic preparations. He packed a small bag with some credit chips and clothing, a few extra weapons. Then he rushed down to the ground floors, dodging other minions. As he passed Jabba's throne room, he noticed Yarna, Jabba's fat dancer, a woman with 6 large breasts, reach into a secret compartment of Jabba's throne and stuff some small gems into her bra. She saw him, stopped in the act, and stared.
"Please," she whispered in Huttese. "It's not for me. It's for my cubs. I'm leaving, and I won't be back."
For half a moment, Tessic halted, thinking that if he turned the woman in, he would appear to be more faithful in Jabba's eyes. Instead, he shrugged at the woman, then proceeded to the motor pool. The great hall was alive with dozens of creatures preparing the weapons, chefs bringing food to the vehicles. Normally, Barada's droids kept a keen watch on the bay, but it was a madhouse at the moment, lit by the ship's running lights. Sauntering over to the swoop bikes under the shadow of Jabba's sail barge, Tessic knelt to inspect each one. The swoops were little more than heavy repulsor lift engines on a frame just big enough to support some stabilizers. They could travel fast and far, but offered no protection from the elements or offensive weaponry. But at the moment, Tessic wanted only speed. He found what looked to be the fastest bike, then switched fuel rods so that he had a full supply. He straddled it and looked at the big heavy blast doors. He would need to get them open in order to make an escape, but Jabba would never open the doors until he was ready to go. Opening those wide doors was the surest way to leave the palace exposed to attack. Yet it took a skilled operator sitting in the control room to open the door, someone who knew the proper codes to disengage the locks. Barada could open them, but if he did, Jabba would have the creature killed. Tessic sat and considered what type of bribes he might offer for such assistance.
"Tessic! Tessic! Where are you?"
It was Ortug, the Gamorrean guard, sent to keep watch on Tessic. Tessic could not leave, so he hurried the bike under the shadows of the sail barge. Ortug grunted, and the guard's mail rattled as he circled the sail barge, by far the biggest vehicle in the motor pool.
"Come now," Ortug growled. "You wouldn't be trying to hide from His Majesty, would you?"
The sounds of droids at work came from inside the sail barge. Tessic looked at one of the side panels behind the barge's kitchens, noticed that it was unlatched. It gave Tessic an idea. Perhaps he could escape from the barge itself. Certainly there would be enough of a commotion, as the rebel heroes suffered their torture. Lifting the swoop, Tessic stuffed it into the hold of the barge. He was just locking the panel down when Ortug growled at his back.
"Arg, what are you up to?"
"We're preparing to leave," Tessic said, turning to face the Gamorrean. "I came down here to board the barge, but apparently no one else is ready to go yet."
Ortug's red eyes narrowed.
"Not go for an hour." "You come with me," Ortug growled, clutching Tessic's arm. "Jabba not want you slinking around down here."
Tessic did not try to shake the guard's hand off his arm. Ortug was notorious for his strength, and the big Gamorrean simply pulled hard enough so that Tessic could either follow or be dragged. Ortug pulled him up into the sail barge, then sat with him next to Jabba's throne. It was dark in the barge, and it smelled faintly of mold and disuse. Tessic gulped hard, noticed the knot in his stomach. He hadn't eaten dinner yet, and he thought longingly of the mollusks stored in his room, imagined prying them open with his four feelers. Ortug pulled out his own heavy blaster and began cleaning the carbonized scoring that had built up on its barrel tip. When he was done, he pointed the barrel at Tessic's right eye and asked,
"How clean that look?"
"Clean, very clean," Tessic said.
Ortug held the blaster pointed at Tessic's face for a long time.
"Jabba no trust you,"
he said finally as he laid the gun on his lap.
"That too bad for you."
"Jabba will find out just how loyal I really am soon enough," Tessic said.
"Too bad for you,"
Ortug grunted again. Tessic sat, lost in reverie, for the next hour, as the sail barge began to fill to overflowing. Half a dozen of Jabba's most trusted henchmen took seats within reach of Tessic. Last of all, Jabba himself came in, dragging Princess Leia in her chains. Jabba sat himself on his dais, and almost immediately the barge lurched into action, while the band struck up a loud tune. The barge floated out over the dunes, bouncing over hills like a ship dipping in the troughs of mountainous waves. As the barge continued to heat up, Jabba had his men open some of the side panels so that brilliant yellow light from Tatooine's twin suns lit the interior. Hot, dry air wafted through the rooms. Tessic didn't speak, hardly thought. He had nothing to say to the monster Jabba or to his other captors. Instead, he was filled with fear, like a cup that is overflowing, until the fear seemed to leak out in his scent, in the ink that dripped from the corner of his mouth, in every nervous tremor. As the craft warmed, Tessic's skin began to itch and crack, drying him in odd spots, between the feelers at his mouth, over the ridges on his face. The normal healthy gray skin blanched to white. Sickly, dark blue blotches began appearing at the back of his palms. Strictly speaking, Tessic's closest biological relatives were clams and slugs, but the Quarren species had long ago adapted to spending time on land, at least on a limited basis. Still, he needed water to keep himself pliant, otherwise his skin would crack and bleed, so that he would lose moisture even faster, and given enough time under such circumstances, he would die. Yet Tessic didn't worry about succumbing slowly to moisture loss by degrees. He worried instead about the look in Leia's eyes. There was a fierceness there, a confidence that had been lacking the day before. Even, did he only imagine it, a restrained anger. Surely Leia had not succumbed to Jabba's ministrations. She had not lost her spirit. Even now she was holding herself in check, waiting for rescue. As Tessic watched her, he became more certain. The Rebel Alliance would ambush the sail barge soon. Jabba was feasting on live creatures, smoking a giant hookah, his eyes pleasantly glazed. His henchmen leaned in close. Tessic wanted suddenly to speak to Leia, let her know that he was an ally, yet he dared speak only with discretion. "Great Jabba," he began. Jabba regarded Tessic with narrowed eyes. "I am afraid that I will be no good to you if I dehydrate further. May I retire to the kitchens for a quick sponge bath?" Jabba ogled him with obscene interest, relishing Tessic's suffering.
"Stay here beside me," Jabba said. "Prove your loyalty."
"Oh, Master, you can be assured of my loyalty. If trouble comes, I will take the place of honor, guarding your back."
"Ho, ho, ho, ho!"
Jabba chuckled quietly, then drew a long breath from his hookah, closing his eyes in ecstasy. In that moment, Tessic looked deep into Leia's eyes, trying to bore his traitorous intent into her. Surprisingly, her eyes suddenly widened, as if she understood completely. She nodded her chin, then turned away. In another hour, Tessic felt frail as they reached the great pit of Carcoon. The sons of Tatooine beat down mercilessly. Tessic's breath came shallow, and as Jabba eagerly leaned forward to watch the execution of Luke Skywalker, Tessic surreptitiously reached into one of the henchmen's drinks and rubbed the ice over his face. Jabba's protocol droid read the death sentence to Luke Skywalker and the rebel heroes, then asked for any last words. Han Solo retorted with curses designed to be especially offensive to those of Hathi's descent, while Skywalker simply offered Jabba one last chance to surrender. Tessic scanned the larboard horizon, certain that a phalanx of rebel fighters must be screaming toward them. Confused, he turned and looked out the starboard side of the sail barge. Then he looked up at Tatooine's blinding double suns. Still no sign of enemy craft.
"Throw them in!"
Jabba shouted, and his men pushed Luke Skywalker into the pit. But the young Jedi used the plank as a springboard, twisting in midair to land back on the vehicle, and someone on the sail barge tossed him a weapon. Within seconds, the Jedi was chopping up Jabba's men.
"Get him! Get him!"
Jabba shouted, and several henchmen began shooting at the rebel heroes, despite the fact that stray shots were as likely to hit their own comrades. They knew that Jabba would well reward the one who brought the Jedi down. For one slim moment, Tessic had to wonder when the Alliance aid would come. Han Solo and the heroes of the Rebel Alliance were fighting the best they could, but most of them seemed to be nothing more than a bunch of bunglers. One of them fell to the edge of the great pit of Carkoon, and the others rushed to his aid, leaving only the young Jedi to withstand the might of all of Jabba's forces. Tessic pulled out his own blaster and stood at Jabba's back. All of Jabba's henchmen were rushing to the larboard side of the ship, trying to shoot Luke Skywalker and the other rebels. Tessic suddenly had a clean shot to Jabba's head. But even as he considered whether to shoot, Leia jumped up and wrapped her chains around Jabba's throat, strangling him. Tessic could no longer get a clean shot at Jabba's head, so he faded back 2 paces into the shadows, watching to see if Jabba's henchmen would notice Leia's move, wondering at the balance of this battle. Would the Rebel Alliance come soon? Would Jabba's men shoot the Rebel heroes down? One of the Weequays, Tessic's own henchmen, turned and saw Leia, began to raise a shout. Tessic fired into the man's throat. In all of the commotion, no one seemed to notice. Within seconds, one of the skiffs exploded, his own bomb, he supposed, and half of Jabba's men were dead. Leia finished off the hut, and Tessic, who had kept waiting for the rebel attack, suddenly realized that there would be no phalanx of fighters. These, apparently bungling rebels, were tearing Jabba's trained mercenaries apart. Their Wookiee fired a cannonade into the sail barge, causing it to list and whine, complaining under Tessic's feet. Then the Wookiee tried to rescue Han Solo. Tessic turned and fled for his life. He leaped through the kitchens, snagging a jug of water as he ran, found his swoop, unlatched an escape panel, and shot out over the sands at top speed. As he cleared the sail barge, a mushroom cloud rose up behind, a fiery testimonial to the end of Jabba's reign. Tessic drank deeply and poured the water over his skin, then wrapped his cloaks tightly about him as he headed home, considering how he might consolidate his forces at what once was Jabba's palace. He felt dry. The desert wind burned his face, sucked the moisture from him. He hated how he felt so dry, hated the hot knives of wind that sliced away at him, paring him down to the bone. But as the swoop soared over sand hills, dipped into shallows, Tessic realized that he felt light. For the first time in his life, he felt light and free.
"I'm free! I'm free!" Tessic began gibbering.
He dreamed of Jabba's wealth lying about in unprotected heaps, and of the greater wealth carefully concealed in numbered accounts and prudently invested in businesses throughout the galaxy. Tessic reached Jabba's stronghold at nightfall, when the lights normally shone from the guard towers, and the warts in the pools around the palace croaked out in terrible song. The palace was dark, empty, and Tessic feared that he would be left stranded outside to die in the darkness. Yet as his swoop drew near, whining across the still hot sand like some flying insect, Tessic noticed burning torches at the front gate.
"I'd better alert them that Jabba's dead and I'm now in command."
After he delivered his dire news, though, he fled the chaos to some place dark, quiet, safe. He took the swoop around back to the motor pool. As he approached, the plasteel door slid open. Barada. Good, faithful Barada, Tessic thought. He glided into the motor pool and immediately knew that something was wrong. At the very least, maintenance droids should have been working, lighting the bay with their glowing eyes. But the motor pool was silent, dark as a tomb. The doors slid closed behind him, and Tessic let himself drop from the swoop, too weary and ill to walk.
"Barada! Barada, bring me water, please!" he cried.
Then he remembered. Barada was dead, killed on the sail barge. He wouldn't bring water, and it couldn't have been he who opened the doors. Tessic looked about the dark, empty rooms, wondering who had let him in. Tessic hated his body, his frail body that could not take the desert heat of Tatooine, that constantly threatened to blow away like sand. He cursed silently when no one answered his call. He crawled to a nearby sink in Barada's quarters, watered his skin, and drank heartily, then staggered into the palace to tell the others that Jabba was dead. His news caused no small stir, and Tessic hurried to his upper rooms to pack water and food while he plotted how to remove as much of Jabba's wealth as possible. The corridors of the palace were dark, cloistered, with all of Jabba's soldiers gone. In some ways the place seemed darker, more sinister, than at any time when Jabba had reigned here. After he had thrown together his belongings, Tessic left his quarters, realizing with relief that he would never have to come back. He heard a snickety sound from the far wall of the corridor, and the clicking sound of an approaching droid as it scrabbled across the dark floor, its footsteps echoing dully. Tessic looked down the hall. A great black spider-like brainwalker crawled toward him, twin lights shining like dull eyes in the darkness. Behind it marched another, and another, coming toward him through the hallways in all directions, the Bomar monks.
"Greetings, Acolyte Tessic," the first of the monks whispered.
"Go away," Tessic pleaded, and in his weakened state he leaned his back against a wall and slid down, collapsing in fear and weariness. Then he heard the squeaking of the cart's wheels and saw the laser scalpels neatly laid out upon it.
6 months later, Tessic left Jabba's palace for the first time. He felt rested and secure as his spidery mechanical body climbed up the highest turrets atop the towers with ease. There, Tessic sat out on a parapet, looked down at the evening suns setting crimson and purple above the yawning white desert. A gust of wind blew across the desert, raising a cloud of dust. Whether the wind was hot or cool, wet or dry, Tessic no longer cared. It was the first time in 6 months that he'd left his brain jar, using his newly developed powers to psychically will one of the mechanical bodies to himself. There was wealth still heaped below him in the palace, free for the taking, if anyone dared to enter. But after the first few meager attempts by cutthroats and thieves from Mos Eisley, volunteers for the job were somehow lacking. Tessic set his brains on the ledge of a wall, splayed his spider legs out wide. At one time, he would have been afraid of falling. At one time, he would have felt as if he were perched on the top of the world. But now, Tessic shut down his eyes and explored the world with his mind. Below him, in the deepest cells of Jabba's haunted palace, the newest Bomar monks practiced their meditations. In the desert, the predators hunted those things that still had flesh on their bones. Jawas and the Sand People fought their battles and scrambled for water. In Mos Eisley, the Lady Valerian was bringing new style and class to the underworld. And in the heavens above, the Rebel Alliance still fought for what? Freedom. Tessic let his mind soar far between the stars, lightly touching the minds of people he had once met, and felt some kinship for him. Luke, Leia, Han, the Wookiee. Simultaneously, each of the Alliance heroes suddenly had the same odd, compelling thought. If ever you return to Jabba's fortress, you will find a free Quarren in the palace. And one by one, each of the heroes shook their heads to clear the odd thought from their minds. As the suns dipped below the horizon, Tessic got up and trundled down a dark corridor that led to the lowest levels of Jabba's palace. There, among the nutrient-filled brain jars, he would find rest.